Gadsby's Questions for Lawmen. John Calvin set out three uses for the law of Moses. In particular, in his third use, Calvin alleged that the law is the believer's perfect rule of life, a whip to beat him into sanctification. According to the Reformer, the believer needs this whip because he is a lazy ass. Millions of believers during the past 450 years have adopted Calvin's scheme. Many still do, even though most of them seem rather shy at using the most severe of Calvin's terms. Many more, even though they do not realize it, have been affected by Calvin, and are what I call incipient lawmen, recipe preachers. As a result, most believers are reared on a diet of law, either overt or incipient. Sadly, this brings many of them into bondage, fear, and a lack of assurance, with a corresponding loss of joy in Christ. Those who argue Scripture to show that this is all wrong are usually dismissed by lawmen as antinomians. William Gadsby, the first half of the 19th century, was one such to argue against the law being the believer's perfect rule. And, of course, he was duly lambasted for his pains. He responded in several works, in which he wrote cogently on the biblical teaching concerning the believer and the law, thereby exposing the wrongness of Calvin's system. On one occasion, Gadsby replied to a critic by way of a series of questions. And it is those questions that I republish here. Why do I republish Gadsby's questions now? Because, I am glad to say, there has been a resurgence of biblical teaching on the law. Although I am only a very small cog in this large engine, in company with a growing number of other teachers, I am doing all I can to set out the freeness of the grace of God in Christ. Naturally, this worldwide explosion of New Covenant teaching has aroused Calvin's advocates, and they are retaliating by bringing out all their old, well-worn criticisms. In light of this, it occurred to me that Gadsby might speak again, and speak with profit to a new generation. Hence, this republication. For William Gadsby's questions need to be faced by all who advocate the law as the perfect rule of life for the believer, the rule by which he is to be sanctified. When these teachers talk about law, however, they nearly always try to restrict it to the Ten Commandments, which they are pleased to call the moral law. This stems from Thomas Aquinas. It has no scriptural warrant whatsoever. Nevertheless, for the sake of this article, I allow their terminology. They advocate sanctification by the law, calling it the believer's perfect rule of life. As I say, Gadsby disagreed with Calvin and all who wanted to bring the believer under the law. He put his questions to a critic. Well, I too disagree with Calvin, and so in republishing Gadsby's questions, I respectfully ask all who think the believer is under the law for sanctification to face these questions and answer them. After all, to pose such questions and to face and answer them is to act entirely within the spirit of Acts 17:11. The Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. In this regard, I ask all who read my work, be a Berean and not a Thessalonian. Gadsby's questions. Gadsby wrote to his critic asking the following questions. 1. If the law is the believer's rule of life, I shall thank you to tell me what is intended by the letter written by the apostles and elders and sent to the believing Gentiles, as recorded in Acts 15, and shall expect you to explain the chapter. 2. I hope you will tell me what the Apostle means in the first 6 verses of Romans 7, where he says that the believer is dead to the law and free from the law, and let me know how that law can be his rule when he is dead to it, and as free from it as a woman is from her husband when she has him buried. Should you be disposed to say that the believer is dead to it as a covenant, but not as a rule of life, you will no doubt point to those scriptures which make a distinction between the law as a covenant and as a rule of life. For unless you do this, you will not move me. 3. You will have the goodness to inform me what is intended by the first 4 verses of Romans 8, and let me know how it comes to pass that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of death. And yet that law of death, called in other places the killing letter, is my rule of life, and how it is that it is my rule of life after it has killed me, and I am made free from it. 4. You will read 2 Corinthians 3, and let me know how it is that the administration of death, written and engraven on stones, is the living man's rule of life, and how this can be consistent with what the Apostle observes in verse 11, where he says it is done away, and in verse 13, where he says it is abolished. Now, my dear sir, you are to tell me how that law, which is done away with and abolished, still remains the believer's perfect rule of life. Question 5 I have omitted because it deals with preparationism, which Gadsby held to and I do not. 6. You will inform me how it is that if we are led by the Spirit, we are not under the law, and yet that law is a perfect rule of life to that man who is led by the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 18. There are many things in the letter to the Galatians which you will find worthy of your attention in this business. I hope you will read the whole. 7. I shall expect you to tell me how it is that the handwriting which was against us and contrary to us is taken out of the way and nailed to the cross, as Colossians 2:14, and yet remains a perfect rule of life. Should you be disposed to say that the ceremonial law is here intended, you will tell me how that law, which was the gospel in its day, came to be against the believer, and what there was in it contrary to him. 8. You will be sure to inform me how it is that the law which was not made for a righteous man is the righteous man's rule, 1 Timothy 1 verse 9. 9. As Christ was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, as in Galatians 4:4-5, you will say how it comes to pass that they still remain under it in any sense that Christ was made under it, seeing he was made under it to redeem them from under it. 10. But as whatsoever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, as Romans 3 verse 19. And as the believer is not under the law, as Romans 6:14, Galatians 5:18, you will inform me what the law says to them who are not under it. 11. If the law contains the whole of the revealed will of God, as to the matter of obedience, you will let me know upon what ground you prove that unbelievers have no right to be baptized and partake of the Lord's Supper. 12. You will inform me how it is that while men contend for the law being a perfect rule of life to believers and use ill names to describe those who do not, many of them who do contend for the law being a perfect rule can and do openly, knowingly, and designedly break the 4th commandment every week. You will inform me whether doing every sort of work on the 7th day is walking according to that rule which says you shall not do any work. No, not so much as to kindle a fire. Exodus 35, verse 3. 13. You will inform me how it is that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes, Romans 10:4, and yet that the believer, who has got to the end of the law, namely by faith in Christ, at once must come back again and begin at the beginning by taking it for a perfect rule of life. Gadsby said he received no reply. Indeed, he found it necessary to correct false reports which his critic had circulated about him. Gadsby still received no satisfaction on the points he had raised. I do not intend to be patronizing when I respectfully ask Gadsby's questions of anyone who feels I have gone astray in setting out the believer's rule in My Christ is All. May I ask that you act as Priscilla and Aquila and explain to me the way of God more accurately, and do so from Scripture. I will be grateful.